Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Raining in Cobham this morning, is it?
Oh, it's been raining all night. It's been quite pleasant, actually. I slept with the windows open, a little pitter-patter of rain, the garden being refreshed, very nice.
Yeah, and I see that I heard an advert, Thames Water, advising people to not to use too much yesterday.
I got a text, actually, from my water provider the other day telling me not to use too much water, but we've had some couple of days of nice rain, which has all been quite pleasant.
Do you think that's anything to do with privatising the water companies so they're more interested in their shareholders than going out repairing leaks?
That's such a broad range question. I don't know. I mean, that's within the water company's advantage to try and solve leaks as much as anything else.
Isn't it about maximising profits?
That is their
So you don't have so many men, you know, when it was the water board, you had men going around fixing leaks all the time, and now, you know, they're not employing so many people, so they're a bit overstretched and can't get them all.
Well, I don't know if that is necessarily the case. That has been one argument that's been put forward. The other argument is, of course, that climate change is affecting the planet and the way in which we operate, and perhaps we need to think about that as consumers.
Didn't you have the wettest winter on record in the UK and flooding everywhere, and now it's been teeming down for a couple of days, but you've still got water shortages?
Well, we had the sunniest May on record as well, which has depleted reserves a little bit, but June has actually been pretty wet, it has to be said.
Okay, markets, not a great day yesterday, mixed on Wall Street, and the spectre of new spikes of coronavirus cases occupying investors' minds.
Yeah, very much so. Disturbing updates on the spread of the virus and rising geopolitical tensions held back equity markets yesterday. In terms of the pandemic, China ramped up efforts to stem a growing virus outbreak in Beijing. Schools have been closed. 1,200 flights were cancelled yesterday. In the United States, Texas reported a record number of hospitalizations. New cases in Florida rose to its highest level since the pandemic began. We always suggested the shape of the recovery and the performance of equity markets, for example, would be driven by the lifespan, the intensity and the geographical spread of COVID-19. Any signs of a flare-up clearly will start to weigh on investor sentiment. Geopolitics, markets also watching closely for signs of escalation of the deadly clashes between India and China, although tensions did appear to be easing on both sides as they confirmed talks between senior military commanders were underway with the aim of lowering the temperature on the Himalayan border. But clearly some big nations standing off there would be a concern for markets. So lots to watch out for. S&P was down, nothing dramatic, down 0.36% yesterday. NASDAQ was slightly higher, 0.15%. But we are looking at a significantly weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE down 66 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 121 points. CAC in Paris off 49 points.
I can't remember who was it that said keep your friends close and your enemies closer still. I wonder what Donald Trump is making of John Bolton's book.
Bolton's book, yes. It's an interesting, we've just got the excerpts coming through in terms of of his criticism of President Trump and talking about his abilities. Not ideal, and of course it's going to be a crucial, as we were talking yesterday, few months for the president as he heads towards the election in November.
Okay, big decision at the Bank of England today.
You had UK inflation data yesterday that showed it falling to a four-year low, putting pressure on the Bank of England to add to their stimulus package. Consumer prices increased just 0.5% from a year earlier last month. That's a quarter of its official target level, amid weaker demand, falling prices for fuel and recreational goods. Petrol and diesel prices fell almost 17%, reflecting the fall course that we've seen in oil prices. There's only been a modest upward pressure coming through from food prices. Bank of England, to remind you, slashed interest rates to a record low of 0.1%, restarted its bond buying programme to fight the crisis as the economy heads towards its worst recession in three centuries. Quite incredible that. Bank of England officials are expected to increase its bond purchases by £100 billion, and that announcement coming today, to help ensure further output losses and deflation don't set in, reduce borrowing costs, and of course boost asset prices and helping with the wealth effect, but likely to stop short of introducing negative interest rates for the first time. There's been a great debate around this. Bank of England said they have been considering it, One suspects that telling the market they're considering it helps to anchor lower borrowing costs as opposed to actually having to introduce it, which of course has significant negative ramifications.
Oh, well, at least there's the soft cushion of free trade agreements with New Zealand and Australia to look forward to. We'll be sending them penguins and they'll be sending us the Tim Tams, you know, and knockdown prices.
And Vegemite, yeah, you're right. It's nice. Well, listen, the good news is that freed from the bureaucracy of Europe, the hope is that the UK can go out and strike its own trade agreements. Lots of cynicism about how quickly that could happen, but there appears to be some early momentum, particularly with Commonwealth countries and, of course, with the United States as well. So let's see how much traction that gets. And we continue, of course, to work with developing the future trading relationship with Europe. Boris Johnson meeting Emmanuel Macron today, who's, I think, in London. So we wait to see how it plays out over the course of the next few weeks. The hope is, of course, it will be economic pragmatism will prevail.
Yeah, Australia already exports 5.9 billion Australian dollars worth of goods to the UK every year anyway, so it's hard to see how that can be enhanced at any great level.
Well, if they don't have to continue to relate to the strong, I'm trying to put this a little bit sensitively,
you're doing quite
the
well
rules
before.
And regulations of Europe, then potentially that would allow it, for further access to the market.
Have you joined the number 10 policy unit overnight or something, honestly?
Well, I think we have to be a little bit cautious during these political fragile political times.
Just the truth is that it will benefit Australia far more than it will benefit the UK. What are they going to buy from us that they're not buying already?
Goods and services. It'll be a tremendous
opportunity. Preserves and jams.
You have a very outdated view, I think, of the UK economy. We're a very dynamic, forward-thinking economy here in the UK. We're at the forefront of scientific achievement, of technological advancement, and they're some of the areas that we'll continue to focus on as we strike a new path in the world.
Blah, blah, blah. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.25 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12.5. Going to get 1 euro 11.5 cents for your British pound this morning. You're making me sound more and more like a politician each and every day. We should stick back to the economics and the markets.
Enjoy the Tim Tams. The caramel ones are quite nice.
Do you like Tim Tams?
I do. Yeah, I've got to go now. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and bark.